irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
And only on April 18th, 2019.
Take two.
3 days after the tax day, right?
I'm having deja vu.
That's right. It's like this just happened a moment. Yeah. It's Groundhog Day. I love it.
Isn't that Notre Dame High School right
what
there?
That is.
We just found out what Notre Dame means.
That's right. And people who didn't listen to the first bleep will never know. So.
Well, it means Our Lady.
Ah, now we got them. Now we got them caught up. Hey, this is a crazy day. I can tell already, but that's kind of cool because we're going to talk about some crazy projects here in Los Angeles. And yes. Some really great theater going on, aren't we, Michael?
Yes, we are, and we have a wonderful show for our listeners today, Andrew, and we'll be talking about the multi-winning, award-winning children's feature film, A World Away, which is an official film selection of the Myrtle Beach Independent Film Festival.
No doubt about it, and I have a couple of kiddos myself, and I am a great lover of entertainment that fits children, teaches them lessons, and also has something interesting to say while keeping them entertained and kind of engaged in what they're watching. That's a cool thing. Very, very cool.
That's right, Andrew. And in studio with us today, we are thrilled to have with us one of the film's stars, as well as director and screenplay writer. Mm-hmm. Please give a warm welcome to Mark Blanchard and Sal Landy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wow.
Holy crap. Yeah, we bust them in.
That's right. That's right. And all those people pay to be here, just so you know.
Wow,
they all paid to
amazing.
See you guys today. So, obviously, you guys have had great, great careers already, and this is a really cool mark along that road. This is something I'm excited to talk about, but you guys have to be really pumped about this. It's just a very exciting project to be involved with.
It really is, and especially with my confidant Sal Landy sitting here on the right, because
we go back 30 years.
Nice.
And
wow.
Have done maybe a dozen shows together, either with him directing me or me directing him, or now that I don't do as much acting, he hasn't had a chance to direct me
truth
as much.
Truth be told,
lately.
When I'm directing him, he's only directing him. And when he's directing me, I'm only directing him.
So that's a good relationship. Right.
Well, he does listen a little bit. It takes a while to get him to listen, but then he'll give me this look, and then I know, okay, he's gonna hit the mark and then hit it a little bit higher. So that's good, you know. But we go back a long, long time. And this film, A World Away, was an idea of mine about 5 years ago, and I sat down with then co-writer at that point, and we wrote an outline based on my story idea. And then by the time it got to the screen, I had rewritten it so many times it basically, you know, was mine along with Jesse Alba's, who sounds like Jesse Alba, but he's nowhere near as cute. Although he is a very good writer.
Takes the checks when they show up in the mail, though, right?
So takes that. So and the idea that I had, which got all the way through it, was that we would look at the world and other worlds, be that we're at the point where we start to understand that we're probably not alone. I mean, it's in my own mind, there's no way we're alone, but that's another issue altogether. But the fact that out there may be other creative entities, it's always done by some kind of angry thing, or they're going to shoot us down.
It's going to be a war.
It's going to be a war. And I took the angle, well, if the kids saw it first, and the kids went, there'd be no way it would be a war.
That's
It would be embraced, and it would be. So I made the aliens, which Sal is the captain of the ship and the leader of all the aliens, more angelic. Now, if you can imagine that face,
Sal is
angelic.
It's the first thing I thought of.
Actually, you know, all kidding aside, it was an opportunity for me to step out of my acting box.
Yeah.
Because no matter how you cut the cards in this town, you're categorized.
That's right.
You know, people see you a certain way, whatever you made your first stamp on. And that's more or less what you repeat over the years.
Hard to get out of that.
And so when he told me this story, and I automatically assumed he wanted me to be the leader of the evil aliens. And he said, no, I want you to be the hero alien.
And that is because it's sort of Goonies meets E.T., but with angelic looking aliens, and I mean Nadine Velasquez is his daughter.
There you go.
You can't get more of an angel than that. Okay, the other one, which is David Steen, that's from Inglourious Basterds and a few other stuff. That's he's not as angelic, but he was more the robotic one. And you don't know that until I don't want to give away too much of what the film is about. Although they see the light, the children. And he offers the light, Artur, Captain, you know, and that's what it's about. It's not, and they all have their own problems, and they go through these series of caves in this other world that David DeLuise, who is the father of one of the girls, actually one of my girls, Carmen Blanchard.
Oh, how funny, cool.
The other, and actually could look like a dad of my, I didn't cast him only that, but I looked at it and I figured, well, if he had mixed with Elizabeth, my wife, then... Yes, that could have worked as well there. You're not going to do that, David. So if you're listening... No, you
walking down that road may be dangerous. That's
you
right.
You don't get that chance.
Listen, from the Hollywood talent you two produce, man, I'm sure he's happy to take any part of that family he can. We got a lot of cool
really
stuff coming up.
What was that I had done a few projects with his dad, Dominic DeLuise.
Oh, interesting.
And it was really interesting for the whole circle for me to come around because I had known his father pretty well.
Now, is that Dom?
Yeah, Dom DeLuise, famous comedian.
Of course, and a great actor. Say the darndest things, I think he hosted.
Yes.
Great actor.
I had
very
done two
funny.
Films with him over the years, and we got to know each other pretty well. And then when he told me David was in the film, I says, I'll bet he doesn't even know the connection I've got with his father. So we sort of like talked a lot about his father, which was very poignant and very cool.
I love that.
Yeah, because David's younger than me, and obviously Sal's.
A little old
in both of us.
I love it. Well, we got a lot to talk about. We're going to jump back with these two gentlemen here in a minute and find out. I want to remind our listeners, A World Away. Jump online, Google that now so you know what we're talking about because this is something special, some really cool things coming up. So, Michael, we should go ahead and do a live arts calendar here in just a bit, but we also want to take some time to thank our amazing sponsors before we dig into
it. I think so. We'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, Princess Cruises for coming on board as presenting sponsors for State of the Arts during 2019, a pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences. Only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options including extravagant entertainment, and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
Experience the next wave in vacation travel. At the end of each month from September to August, one lucky person will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new Ocean Medallion class ships. So make sure, ladies and gentlemen, to enter every month for your chance to win. And you can do that by coming to latalkradio.com, Channel 2, State of the Arts. You go to our page. You will see the beautiful logo for Princess Cruises. Mm-hmm. You click on that to register, and boom, there you are.
It's a
$5,000 gift from Princess.
And I think you can enter multiple times, so don't stop clicking on that.
Yes, you can.
Also, we'd like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts here in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts. And as always, we encourage you to check out one of our favorite photographers here in Los Angeles. She's the best, Carrie Ann Francis. Mm-hmm. At cafrancisphoto.com. Lots of good stuff out there for all our listeners. In fact, we've gotten some Facebook messages and Instagram contact from people in New Zealand, from Australia, and we just passed our what download, Michael?
2.5 million.
2.5 millionth download.
That's good.
Kudos. Yeah. Kudos. Yeah.
Kudos, guys.
No taste
since
out there.
Since our premiere.
No accounting for taste out there. I love it. I love it. Well, obviously, we have some really great people here to talk to today, and Michael, we should go ahead and bring in our first guest officially. You've heard his voice, and he's a good friend of the show. Our first guest is a screenwriter and a multiple multiple award-winning director of stage and the big screen.
You heard him talk a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. His interest in directing began at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in New York, and then he moved on to the prestigious film directing program at Hofstra University, where he also played football and baseball, USC Film School, and AFI.
In New York, he directed productions of Midsummer Night's Dream, Middle of the Night, Waiting for Lefty, and Buried Child. In Los Angeles, he directed the West Coast premiere of Arthur Miller's Memory of Two Mondays, for which he won the Drama Log Award as well as the LA Drama Desk nomination. He also took home the Drama Log Award and Drama Desk Awards for One Last Ride and True West.
Other credits include Cody Angelino is Coming, It's Just Sex, and Stated Income. His next feature film, Burned, begins shooting in June. He joins us today to talk about his latest screenwriting project, as we've heard a little bit about already, his multi-award-winning children's feature film, A World Away. Please once again welcome Mark Blanchard.
Yeah.
Mr. Blanchard.
Yes, sir. I'm a little embarrassed through all that.
Why is that?
Wow, having to listen to...
You did all that.
I did all that over the years. But that just says one thing, basically. I'm old.
Well, you don't look old.
No, thank you.
One of the most impressive things is playing football and baseball at Hofstra and then still having the strength to go and finish your degree. That's pretty impressive, man, to get out and write and all that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and what happened, I actually got hurt in my right shoulder, got blown out in baseball. And so I had to finish without the scholarship afterwards.
Wow. Oh, brutal.
But I did. And that's how I ended up going to film school afterwards, because I realized I wasn't going to be a pitcher for the Mets any longer.
And, I'm still hoping my time comes up.
I still play baseball in the Men's Wood Bat League in Beverly Hills.
I love that.
Bunch of old players, older guys, youngers, actors. You know, it's a really competitive league.
That sounds great.
And my team is the Brooklands. And we start in 3 weeks. Yeah,
very cool.
Very cool. Yeah, I still
play. Right. I know Little League's going up everywhere, and all the kids are getting ready, and it's a fun time of year. I love that.
Yes.
I love April.
You know, Mark and I rode up in the elevator together, and
so you had plenty of time to talk.
Right.
We have the slowest elevator in the country in our building.
I've gone to the 80th floor in New York faster than I came to the 4th floor here, so yes, you're right.
Well, I don't think I'd want to go up to the 80th floor of any building, quite frankly, but thanks for coming up to floor 4.
Thank you.
I am a huge fan, Andrew, of his daughters, and Rowan is the one that I know.
I'm not.
Of course,
they're
from
too
television.
Talented. They're too pretty, and they make
they
too
are.
Much money. I don't like that.
They
too
are.
Good, man.
Well, Rowan especially. You know how I became acquainted with her, which is a weird kind of story. I moved into a new home, and the people, the cable people, came in to put in all the TV sets in the bedrooms in the main room and so forth. And in the master bedroom, which was my bedroom, they had set it to a channel, and when I went to bed that night at an inn, I was really tired at the end of a long day of moving in, I turned on the TV and it came up as the Disney channel came up.
Right.
And I have so many friends who have written for Disney series
over the years.
And so. I had never seen any of those series at all, including your daughter's series.
Girl Meets World, which
Girl
is
Meets
you
World,
were, which
exactly.
Yes,
and or anything else. And those series make, you know, it's like just seems like the old days. They make stars out of these kids.
That's
you
right.
Know? And they run those series. What is it, for 4 years?
They usually do it for 4 years, sometimes three now, because they have a new format with the streaming.
Right.
But that particular show, which was nominated for an Emmy every single season that it was on, Michael Jacobs, who had originally was the creator of Boy Meets World and Charles in Charge and a bunch of other. So this was a little bit up level of what the shows, that's being kind, of what the shows were on there normally. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while you would get one of those shows. This was one of those that was special. And frankly, I was on set because I would work with a lot of the actors and the kids and my daughter especially the whole time. And there was rarely a week that I didn't come to tears. So much so that at the table reads, the market was, they'd look over at me sitting there, is Mark crying yet? After the laughter we knew was coming. But then, and then Disney didn't like that because Disney didn't want it to be too heavy, you know, in a Disney Channel and everything. So they would have that little bit. And Michael wanted it as deep and as powerful. And so did my daughter. She yeah. wanted that as well, and she was only 11 when she started and 15 when the show wow.
very,
you know,
very
finished and everything.
Versatile young actress.
Well, she's
really
doing
a
one coming out now that was just announced, which is Snowpiercer, based on for TNT and
oh,
Netflix.
Cool.
Yeah, based on
very
the movie cool. Different. Jennifer Connelly is the lead. David Diggs from Hamilton is the other lead. Then there's a surprise, and that's Rowan Blanchard, but I won't tell it because we're not allowed to
well, and of course, I know your daughter from the Goldbergs. Great work there
right.
as well.
Yes,
but both
yes,
Carmen
yes.
and Rowan are in this film. Are
yeah,
in
Carmen is actually the star of the show, the lead of the. It's written around her
as
character.
She should be. That's right.
And I'm not going to tell you what happens, but the period of the film takes place over a period of a time warp that is 2 years. Of,
okay.
So
I call that high school.
Okay, so it's like high school, the time warp. Listen, they're both in high school now, and I'm not going to go into it.
are they enjoying being in high school?
Well, Rowan's homeschooled still, or okay. set schooled or whatever. But Carmen, yeah, she's the president of her class. She's the valedictorian at this point of the or I think maybe someone just got her by a tenth of a point at this thing, you know, but she's right there, cheerleader, all that. So she's taken a little bit off of the acting, although having trouble with that now because she's getting a lot of press from A World Away.
And yeah, you want to jump on that, right?
When it's released this summer, she's going to get a lot more because it's going to have an Amazon deal. I can't talk completely about it, but I can say that
she's
much.
She's amazing in the film.
Yeah, she's honestly the glue to the film. Sal, who's sitting next to me, is the spiritual
the gravitas
of the film. But she is the spiritual light and the seed of what's going on. And it is a very there's a company called Dove. That rates family films, and it's a very. It used to be small, now it's very, very big, and they have a rating system of 1 through 4. And so this has gotten the Dove seal, and it got the 4 where it needed the 4, which is it's all religions, all spiritual beliefs, all that, and then it got the 1, which is the reverse, which is like all ages. So it got all the good Dove, and so it tells the families around the world, this film is safe whether you're 10 years old or 20 years old. There's no cursing in it. There's dangerous situations, but there's nothing that would, you know, someone could. And it's the belief that all religions are good, are okay. If you choose what you want to choose, as long as you're choosing a spiritual light, which is sort of how I believe in. Mm-hmm. Well, not sort of. I do. I wrote it. You know? And so it opens that up. And getting that is big. That opened up a lot of the doors for the distributors to come out because, you know, making a movie from music to getting the actors to writing to all the grips and all the electricians, everything. It's not an easy task, and it's expensive.
Of course.
And we raised the money to do this ourselves so
did
that
you?
I wasn't told what to do because coming from theater directing, I don't have a lot of bosses. You know, the producers leave me alone mostly. A lot of times I may be the producer of that. So right. I wanted the same experience on my first feature. But not necessarily my second and my third. Burned, I don't mind because the money is coming from them. And I'll listen a little bit more, not much.
I wouldn't suspect you would want to,
yeah.
right? Yeah.
No.
Well, Myrtle Beach,
Sal will be in it for sure.
Yeah,
better be.
Alejandro is his guy.
The funniest thing about a World Away.
I wrote it for him.
The funniest
Very
thing
cool.
about a World Away. We were talking. He was talking about the spiritual center, and it's this thing called the source, which is the light that powers the world. And we had so much fun when we were shooting because. Myself and the other two actors, every once in a while, we'd start calling the source the sauce. Like we were on...
That's
know,
my religion,
on,
baby.
On the Sopranos or something. And we had to do so many different takes.
That's
where we
funny.
Had to say, no, it's source.
And we shot
sauce.
That,
different,
we shot
different
that
religion.
On the last day, and, you know, we didn't have the money to go over budget because we didn't have an over budget money
right.
or anything. So, like, I'm saying, guys, it's source. Yeah, the sauce. We're going to end up with the sauce, and then they couldn't stop their mistakes.
Oh,
and,
funny.
You know, this is David Steen, and Nadine. No, Nadine didn't. Nadine had the sauce every time, and then they got her to make a mistake, and she got like, oh my god, well, now I'm even the sauce. Stop it!
Well, now where'd you guys shoot?
Well, we shot above those mountains. On the other side, cool. There's the Vasquez Rocks, if awesome. You go over there. Mm-hmm. Actually, that house up there on the top, I believe, is mine.
Wow.
But don't quote me on that.
No, I know now we're having the after party. Yeah, we'll be there soon.
It's one of those two that are right there at the top. And so we shot all the outdoor stuff and all the cave stuff that was outside the caves going into it in Vasquez Rocks. We built the caves in a studio up in... Calabasas.
Cool.
I believe it's called Renmar. I don't want to be quoted on that, but if I'm right, I'm sure they're very happy. I plugged them.
That my son Shane Landy worked on. I'm going to plug
That's,
my
oh,
son.
Oh, you should.
I'm plugging my son. He worked on building the cave.
Great.
And, he not only worked on building the caves, he actually came in and I needed a lot of changes. And I said, you know, can you do some of this painting in about 13 minutes because we need it? And he got a paintbrush out and everything, and he fixed the whole thing, and it looked beautiful. And so every cave on the inside we built, and we actually were building as we were shooting because we didn't have enough money to have like three stages, so that we would have to take down a set, rebuild it, and then put it up, and you don't know that in the... You know, and then I got lucky because when I couldn't finish the film because of funding... I needed someone to do a post deal with me that would be able to do the special effects that I wanted to be able to do, which were way beyond the budget of the film. And I met through Sal a woman, Alexa Khan, who...
Alexa Khan is her name?
Alexa Khan, K-H-A-N,
cool.
like that.
Very
and
cool.
She's Mongolian.
Wow.
And she's the evil queen.
It's a great name.
In the film. And it's not her name. But I can't say her name, so I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do that on the thing. But she brought a Mongolian company to the... because she's from Mongolia, who did the special effects, and it was unbelievable. And then I went with Rowan to a job she was doing in Japan so I could be on the same timeline with Mongolia, and we did in 2 weeks work what looks like 2 years.
Mark, that's fantastic.
You know, so it was and then Mark Portman, who is the composer of the film, is a multi-Grammy Award and nominated composer who's a good friend of mine, who had never... He does all the trailers from... The robots that change positions and they become cars, and then
I got nothing. Oh, Transformers!
Transformers.
I was going to say Small Wonder, but that's not right.
He does Transformers. he does the Warner Brothers. He's a huge trailer composer as well, but had never done a feature film.
Wow.
So I had given him the script and he started crying when he read it, and I said, okay, this is, you know, you're not just my good friend, this is right for you because you got it right off the bat. And
people often cry when they read my work too. It's different reasons.
Score is unbelievable.
A World Away is the film we're talking about. Great, great piece. And has this premiered yet? Can it be seen anywhere?
Well, we premiered it at the Chicago Independent Film Festival.
Right.
And we won. We won Best Film, Best Actor, which is the ensemble case, and we won the audience feature award as well.
How many festivals has it been through?
That's the first. And the East Coast premiere is now the Myrtle Beach Independent, International, Myrtle Beach International Film Festival, which is one of the biggest family film festivals in the world. And it's just, we're so excited about this because now it's going to have, we won that without children being there, which was just adults at the thing. This is going to have kids and everything, and they're all excited because Rowan is in it, and then Rowan's sister, Carmen, is in it. You know, they don't care that their dad has anything to do with it.
And we get to go to Myrtle Beach.
And we get to go to Myrtle Beach. Yeah, I rented a house in Myrtle Beach for the week, and Sal's coming, and Caroline Lagerfeld, who plays the grandmother. I'm not going to tell you what that is compared to Carmen because it would give away too much of it, but let's just say her presence matched Carmen's, and that's very good. You know, it was just unbelievable. And what an actress Caroline is. Caroline Lagerfeld was on, she was one of the leads of Gossip Girls and
a bunch of.
So you would know her 100 different
Absolutely.
Times. So it was pretty amazing that we got this cast, too. And that had to do with LA theater. You know, the fact that I directed for as long as I have, and actually, you guys mentioned Memory of Two Mondays, which we won the Drama Desk, and when we were nominated, and we won the Drama Log Award. Mm-hmm. Sal was in. He was the lead in Memory of Two Mondays with Emilio Estevez, who is the other Estevez. And actually, Martin joined us for a weekend and all just because his son was in it and all.
How's he doing, by the way?
They're all doing well, yeah. Emilio is writing country music.
Really?
Charlie's doing much better.
Writing it?
Writing.
He writes singing with Travis. No?
No, he doesn't sing. Oh. With, I don't know that he does or doesn't sing, but that's not what he's down there. He writes with Travis Tritt and a few others and everything. So he's been doing that. And then Emilio is... Did I say the names wrong?
No, Emilio was not in our show. It was the other guy, the youngest. What's his name? I want to say.
I'm drawing a blank, and this is going to be the worst.
I want to say Esteban, but that's not it.
It is Estevez, but Ramon.
Ramon.
Thank you, Mark. Ramon. So Ramon Estevez. Emilio is still directing and acting and everything
Ramon's
else. Sorry, Emilio.
No.
Ramon is the least known, and along with the sister who also works, but she wasn't in the show. And Ramon was beautiful in the show, and it was his stage debut as well at that time. And it just brought back some memories. When you hear the memory of Two Mondays, it brought back the memories of the first stage production I directed in L.A., and I believe it was 1990.
You know, young actors today, they don't realize how valuable stage experience is.
You know, I agree with you. You're right.
I teach a class of young actors, and as a matter of fact, tonight we're doing a showcase over at the Lounge Theater.
What's the name of the studio that you teach at?
We call it the Actorhood.
Okay.
And I've got a bunch of young actors, and so what I try and do is every few months put on a live show for them so they get a chance to step outside the comfort zone of the class and work in front of strangers, because there's nothing beats that kind of experience.
Exactly.
And the Lounge Theater is beautiful. It's two theaters within the Lounge. And actually, the Dreamer...
We did a play there,
which we talked about the last time that I met Michael and I was Andy. And I always said I would love to come back with something, and here we go.
Here we are.
And you mentioned Burned, by the way, which is a script I wrote with... oddly enough, a wonderful writer from Ireland, Sean Ryan, who Sal introduced me to him. And it was because he had done a short that he had written. And so Sean and I...
Which I won Best Actor for.
Hey, now.
Yeah, wow. this guy's an incredible writer.
And we wrote Burn together to give a vehicle for women, sort of like John Wick meets Wind River, but for women. And it's gotten amazing pull. And we already have a very good cast, from Jeremy Piven to... Scotty Thompson, who was in the to Sal, to Granger Hines and Jamie McShane and a whole lot. And now we have an offer out to some people we can't say because the big lead of it. Yeah. And that starts in
Sal, there. I have a question for you. How many times do you get compared to Christopher Walken?
Oh, I did a commercial for Lexus, and I don't know how many people that they saw for it. It was myself and the tennis champion, Andy Roddick.
Sure, of course. Mm-hmm.
And it was two of us sitting in a car, and I'm trying to give him advice to get him to win a match.
Wow.
And later on, I asked the director, I said, why did you cast me in this? There were so many, like, you know, people who are better known than I am that were reading for this. He said, I don't know. He said, as soon as you came in, I said, that guy reminds me of Christopher Walken. Quite often.
How many mob bosses have you played?
I don't really, you know, it's really funny. I really don't play that. No? I play people of various ethnic origins, you know, Russians, Irish. I just did something where I was a Russian soldier. But when I go against those kind of guys, I don't get the part, because there's so many guys out there that are that.
Yeah.
You know,
that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
I usually don't. I get.
He
parts,
is he is playing that in Burned, so yeah.
Oh, good.
He so, does play. Yeah. He does play a second in command in the drug cartel.
He's Mexican.
He's not Mexican. He's.
What is he? I haven't read the script yet.
Of course, yes. Sal probably hasn't read the script. But
I read my lines.
He's Colombian, or that's it. Yeah.
Well,
which he's working on now, because if we shoot in June and he works on his lines now, he'll have a third of them by the time we shoot.
Well, if you haven't checked out Sal's career, man, some great parts and a lot of very varied roles as well, which I think is very, very cool. Michael, the film we're talking about right now, yes, of course, is A World Away, which is, yep, a great, great piece. But we should take a break and talk about a great piece of theater,
yes,
in Southland as well.
Absolutely.
And do a live arts calendar. How's that sound?
Absolutely.
Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, was born and raised in Clay County, Tennessee, in my neck of the woods, and a 2002 graduate of Campbellsville University. He's a Marine Corps veteran with two tours in Iraq. After the military, he received his MFA in theater from USC in 2013. He's been a member of the Actors Gang for over a year and is an actor and a teaching artist as well. He's obviously done a lot of great things here, and he's a good, good friend of the show. He's been in Ajax in Iraq, as well as Tracers. Film and television credits include HBO's The Brink, Young and the Restless, NCIS, L.A., Lethal Weapon, and many, many more. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give him a big warm welcome. His name is James Bain.
Hey, James. Nice to see you again.
Good to see you, my friend. Thanks for having me back. So tell,
yes,
us, you have a great show that you're doing, and we've talked about this a little bit before, but it's been radically transformed. Am I correct?
Yes, sir. So last year you guys had me in at the Actors Gang. We were having a short play festival. It was called Angels, Devils, and Other Things.
Right.
And Tim Robbins, our artistic director, chose three of the 11 plays to grow into one act, and my play happened to be one of them that got to grow into that one act, and it's called Tradition. It's about, deals with some real hard issues, veteran suicide, and just, coming to terms as a man trying to prove myself to the male figures in my family, my friends, that I'm a man, and just all that you go through. And
when you figure that out, let me know, because I've been working on that for about 40 years now. So
right, and it was really, for me, it started off as a small process of just cathartic, trying to get out some feelings, dealing with that kind of stuff, dealing with coming from the military into the art world, and but I found it was just a really amazing outlet for me, and lo and behold, Tim dug it and he wanted to grow it. And now I have it's unique because I have an amazing cast of women playing all men. So,
wow. Really?
Yeah. And they bring an element, an aura to it that I think really makes it even bigger than I ever imagined. Yeah.
So that's how you saw it in mind when you were writing it, to make that transition?
So initially, I wrote it for this veteran workshop we had at the Geffen Theater.
Right.
And I performed it by myself. It was like a little one-man, seven-minute piece. And when we were able to put it on at the Actors Gang, I saw these women, and the way we work at the Actors Gang, we kind of workshop thing, and different people play different,
right,
roles, and you try to figure out who's what.
Right.
And these ladies just brought this, almost like this Trojan women feel to it. So I couldn't help but just...
Now, you brought someone with you today, yeah?
Yes, yes.
And can you tell us a little about what she plays and what she does?
I think I'll let her introduce herself.
Oh, very nice, very nice. We got a crowded studio today, man. I like that. That's my kind of thing.
Close here. Hi, how you doing?
More the merrier.
That's right.
My name's Kylie Hollister, and I play Daddy-O. I play James's dad.
What, and I would have thought that just meeting you the first time.
It's
immediately what
I
thought. James, how tall are you?
6'5".
6'5". And you played football for a while, yeah?
Yeah.
Mark played a little football in college as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, a little baseball, a little football.
I played a lot of baseball, like football, till sophomore year because I got hurt.
Baseball.
But I was the quarterback.
Oh, nice.
I didn't have to be 6'5" then either.
That's right. You could see over the line at 5'9", couldn't you?
I could throw the ball 60 yards. That's all that matters. Now we're finally getting back to that where
Pat
Mahomes,
Drew Brees,
right, and Seattle, Russell Wilson.
Right.
They're finally realizing it's if you can move around and you can see Bassett, it's good to be 6'5".
Yeah.
I wish I was at that point because I wouldn't have gotten hurt, getting hit by a 6'5". By the way, I want to thank you, James, for your service.
No doubt about it. Let's give him a round of applause.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Not only you, but all the veterans out there. That's obviously such an important part of what's going on right now, the conversations and about how we treat our veterans. And obviously, you're such a good example of how, when you come back from an experience like that, which hopefully we learn through sports as kids, how to be a team member, how to succeed at a task, but also how to recover from a traumatic experience. Your strength in that is amazing. And your catharsis through your art, I think, is a fantastic template for how people can do that. So thank you for that as well. I got to ask you this real quick. This piece is obviously very, very personal. Has your family seen it yet?
Not this piece. My mother, she's in Tennessee. She's a school teacher, so she doesn't get as much time off as she wants. But she comes out here and sees as much as she can. But I have a lot of friends and veterans that have come and see it, and you know, they appreciate the work and the personal nature of it. And they also know, you know, the veteran suicide rate is 22 a day, and that's something that needs to stop. You know, and through my play, you know, through people watching it, I hope. My hope is, it doesn't matter if you're a veteran or not, if you watch it, I hope it gives you pause, or if it I hope it gives you an insight that you're maybe not alone, or maybe something a friend or family members go through, or if you've already gone, if you unfortunately have gone through it. Because my play talks about my grandfather, my father, and one of my best friends, Brad, who all committed suicide. My grandfather and my father and I share the same name. I'm James Edward Bain III. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know that my grandfather had committed suicide until my father had. Ugh. And I'd already been dealing with my own issues with that. And instead of like going deeper in that hole, I started like looking for answers and questions and then a positive, creative way out of it. Because I didn't want to be another statistic. I mean, I say that in my play. It's like, I don't want to be another stain for someone to clean up. I don't want to be that kind of burden. I want to change the cycle. I want to help. And, you know, when people see this play and they're moved, even if they're like, because I don't play nice with it. I call it out for what I think it is. And I don't want people to forget that this is an issue that people deal with. And it's so important, really.
Well, obviously, I think those are great, great words and something that we can all be mindful of, even if we haven't been through military service. It's a mental health is a crucial part
absolutely.
Of being around on this planet and being a productive member and also being an artist, which I think is such an important
thing. So it's in progress right now?
So, unfortunately, there's only two more performances left.
Which have been greatly sold out.
Yeah,
doing fantastic.
Like, it's been packed almost every night.
How can people get tickets?
So tonight, actually, you can either go to theactorsgang.com, or you can go to the door tonight because Thursdays are always pay what you can at night.
Which is so great.
Yeah. That's such a great
thing. Yeah, we want to make sure everybody in the community has a chance to see theater. So no matter what's going on at the theater on Thursday night, it's always pay what you can. So you have tonight at 8 p.m., pay what you can, or Saturday at 6 p.m., because this play is part of a one-act festival, it's going to be 5 one-acts. So 2 classic plays, Crab's Last Tape and No Exit, and then 3 originals written by company members, directed by company members, and performed by company members. It's Tradition, that's my play, A Perfect World by Lindy Hook, and Bob Turton's Clean Slate.
Great.
Yes, and they're all very great pieces, and, you know, tonight we'll run you about an hour and a half.
Right.
You know, so
pay what you can.
That's a good time for anything, right?
Yeah.
90 minutes.
Actorsgang.com. Theactorsgang.com for tickets.
Tim was on the show recently.
Yeah. I mean, Tim's a great.
His passion is unbelievable.
You know, he really cares about, you know, what theater does for society.
Yep.
And, you know, and that's an important thing. You know, it's a way that we can express what's going on in the world and have that real social commentary that everybody can relate to, you know.
Absolutely. Well, let's give it a big round of applause. James
Bain, thank you for joining us again. Good luck with this project.
Thank you so much, both. We greatly appreciate it and hope to have you back on again soon.
Thank you.
Cool.
And I would pay to see her be your dad.
Nails it, really.
I don't have any doubt about that. Ladies and gentlemen, we should go ahead and bring our next guest in, although you've heard his voice a lot today, and he's certainly a well-known actor and many, many other things as well. He's a producer as well with over 100 film and television credits to his name, including 2 major reoccurring roles on the shows, including How to Get Away with Murder, Scandal, X-Files, JAG, Desperate Housewives, and NYPD Blue.
Other credits include recurring roles on Days of Our Lives, The Young and the Restless, and General Hospital, and a guest-starring role on NCIS. He has also appeared in the films of 5 Academy Award directors and received a Best Actor Award for Lunch Break.
That's right. Recently, he appeared in the leading role in the film The Other Side for the American Film Institute. He will soon be seen starring in the role in the feature film Burning Shadow, slated for a world premiere release later this summer.
We're so happy that he is here, and he's here to tell us all about his starring role in what we've been talking about earlier, A World Away. Ladies and gentlemen, one more time, the one and only Sal Lendy.
Yeah.
No doubt. Oh, they love you, Sal. Well, they love you.
By this time, I think all my friends have probably turned off the radio, but that's okay. Well, anyhow, shoot, anything you want to ask, I'm here.
Well, you know, first of all, I mean, we've talked about it extensively here, but as Andrew said something important earlier in the conversation with you, Mark, and that was about the fact that he has children and that he is so behind anything that has anything to do with children when it comes to motion picture making, or be it across the board. We always say in this program, you know, theater is, and we've talked about that experience, being an actor in a theater, how precious that is to a lot of children who can use that process and if they want to express themselves and they're having trouble in their own life to do that the theater is such a welcoming place and has been the place that so many young kids have turned into teenagers and young adults and finally opened up and found their place in the world.
You know, to me, theater's always been sort of like a refuge.
Right.
It's like a church.
Right, exactly.
And I think, you know, a lot of people today, they don't really give it its proper due in terms of that. They think of it as just another forms of entertainment, but it's mm-hmm. really not. The tradition of theater goes back so many years past, you know, television and all of that stuff.
Well, back to the Greek mythology and everything Sal just touched upon something. One of the reasons that I cast him as Artur in A World Away, it wasn't just that I had worked with him on stage many times, because I knew, okay, other than the fact that he doesn't remember his lines, he's one of the best actors I've ever worked with, and it won't matter, because if he doesn't, he's going to come up with a better thing to say anyway. And I think that's really the case. I think he remembers them, but he decides what he wants to say, and that would be... So I knew what I was getting into, but the main reason was... He's a father of two boys, and this is about children. And now his boys have grown up. I believe they're 18 and 21. Am I right, Sal?
Shane is 27.
And oh,
Nick,
my God.
Nick, my youngest who's up in college.
Shane is 27?
27. He's up. My youngest is Nick. He's up in college. He's just turned 20.
Yeah, so wow. So I knew Shane and, well, I mean, I knew Sal before he had Shane and Nick, but... So I had seen The Raise, and I knew what kind of a father he was. I knew he'd get the feeling of what this character was bringing, which was, listen, they all have trouble. I mean, the gentleman James before us, which was, you know, it pales us in comparison, being that he was out in the Marines battling for our freedom or the world's freedom or whatever. I forgot where he went, but he was on the line. You heard that. That being said, that is... where we don't want to have to go any longer. And theater and spiritual belief and things where you could do it, maybe we can rise to that level where someday we don't have war. We don't have, and that's what I wrote in here. These kids all have a specific problem.
Right.
How they deal with it is through this light, this source that he's bringing the world. And I knew Sal would have that presence, so much so that I re-edited the film as we were editing it, and his voice just comes in and talks to the children in the caves and stuff. Mm-hmm. Because Sal said I didn't write him enough lines, so we added we added lines for him to have it.
I wouldn't say something like that.
Yeah, but for those of you that want a great experience of working with an actor. Honestly, I've done it now at least 10 times, and I recommend it to any directors out there. You want the right actor, Sal is going to be the guy for you.
Well, back at you.
Sal, how can people find out more about you? Where can they follow you?
Well, I mean, I'm not really one of those sort of social media kind of people, but I mean, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, and IMBD.
Your IMBD page is fantastic, and obviously some great resources on there as well to find out
about
some of
these films. Yeah, but you know what I tell people, Drew?
Tell me.
When you look at my IMBD page and you see 100 and something credits, whatever it is, you got to divide that by the 30 years that I've been auditioning.
40.
Yeah, 40.
Oh, you got a buddy next to you calling me out.
Because I'm 30 years in the business, and he's 10 years older than me, so I know.
He's always got my back. You divide that by 40.
He's going to have it all the way with a knife in it if you're not careful, man. I'm telling you.
Divide that number by 40, and then you get an accurate description of what this business is really about in terms of jobs, in terms of years.
Yeah, well, you've both kept such an amazing attitude and done such amazing work. You haven't gotten jaded by the industry, and more importantly, you've produced some projects out there that are truly iconic projects, and I think A World Away is going to be another one of those. This is a great, great piece.
How old are your children, by the way, Andrew?
I got an 11-year-old. Well, she says she's 11. She's not 11 yet. No. She's 10. She's turning 11 soon, and I got an 8-year-old.
You're in the midst of it.
It's a hurricane right now.
So my son has a tiny little role in the film as well.
Is this Shane? Of course. Shane, cool.
But it's a very important role for what it's telling.
We both have sons named Shane.
I saw that. That's fantastic. Yeah.
But
very
the funny thing is, when Shane did the movie 3 years ago when we first started, and then we finished it because I said it had a wraparound story, which I don't want to tell you. But it does have that. Shane was 4'10" when he started the movie. He's 5'11". Less than an inch shorter than I used to be, 6 feet, but I'm about 5'11". And his son, Shane, was towering over Shane like he was a little puppet. Now they're about the same size. He's about 6'2", I guess.
Shane's about 6'1", but my other son, Nick, is 6'4".
Six four.
Yeah.
That's why you want to have short production schedule.
in my prime? 6'2" and a half.
Wow.
Yeah. Now I'm about 5'3".
Yeah. Yeah, he's about 6'1" and a half, and I'm about 5'11" and a half, and we both started at a little over six, 6'2", but, you know.
Gentlemen, you guys are not only fun to talk to, but you are truly an honor to have in studio with us, but even great guests like you cannot escape it.
And now, embarrassing moments.
Yep.
Here's an embarrassing moment.
Tell me what
I'm
going to
let Sal speak.
It's the first time in 30 years that I've known him he's ever asked me to speak first.
What you got for us?
Probably years ago, I was up for a pilot over at 20th Century. And I believe it was called A Ride on Harold's Nose. And I was doing my screen tests. Back in those days, you had screen tests.
That's right.
And it was down to me and one other guy who got the part. But just before my screen test, I have a habit of not wearing underwear.
I'm going to go ahead and mark that down in the too much information category. Thank you.
Just before my screen, literally the moment before I stepped on camera, I got up out of the chair and I heard,
oh, no.
And my pants ripped from the whole seam of the back rib.
Oh, no.
And so I literally spent the whole screen test
with your ass hanging out.
Yeah. Trying to keep it from hanging out.
Oh, you
know what I mean?
No.
And it sort of, like split my concentration.
Hey, at least he's vulnerable. At least he stayed vulnerable in the scene, you know? Yeah, so wow. Sal.
That was probably the most embarrassing moment.
Well, the least they could have done is given you the role after you went through all that.
Exactly.
That's right.
And the funniest thing was the guy who's doing the lead in the pilot, he's passed away now. He's a famous character actor. He thought that I was so broke that I couldn't afford a pair of pants.
Wow.
And after we finished the screen test, he came up to me and he took a $20 bill out. And he gave me this $20 bill. And he said, this $20 bill isn't from me. He said, this $20 bill is from Spencer Tracy, who gave it to me years ago. And he told me, if you ever meet another actor in need,
holy cow.
$20.
What'd you use the 20 bucks for? Did you go buy underwear? That's what I would have done.
I went out to eat in a Mexican restaurant across it.
And have you ever passed that on?
No.
Okay, I'm going to meet you in the parking lot after the show because I need gas on the way home. Got it? Mark, what you got for us, bud?
All right, so I had something which I'm not going to because now Sal just triggered something else because this one actually embarrassed the both of us together and it was in theater, so I'm gonna use it.
Double whammy,
so,
I like it.
So my wife, the lovely Elizabeth Blanchard, had talked me into putting Rowan and Carmen into their first show, which was a show that we had done called Stated Income. And we're about 3 days from opening, and Sal doesn't know his lines, and he's got the majority of the entire play. At this particular one, he was like the grandfather of the whole thing. And they were playing his granddaughter, because you can only put a child up for 3-4 performances, and you have to rotate right. him out. So I gave him
a
both.
A young grandfather.
So he was a very young grandfather. And my children at that point were 8 and 6, so they were very young. Rowan was just starting. Well, Carmen, the 6-year-old, who's the lead in A World Away, which is why I just picked, stands up in the middle of a rehearsal and says, "That's not the line." And Sal, of course, he's up and he goes, "What did you just say?" And he said, she goes, "That's not the line. You don't know your lines." And he said, "Who are you?
Who's this person?"
And so Rowan stands up and she goes, "No, it's not the line." And she's right. And so Sal goes, "What are you guys talking? Mark, what's..." I said,
"It's a mute.
Oh, my God, I'm totally embarrassed because, you know," but they were right. So then they said, "Oh, really? Watch." They get up on stage. They did the first act.
Verbatim.
As Alan Hunt always says, and a child shall lead them.
They knew everything. Sal comes in the next day. He's got all the lines. But he already had the emotions there, because that's the way Sal works.
Sure,
you know, he's had all the emotions. He's all the lines. So I'm going opening night, and I'm helping the stage manager set the stage. And I go, "What is this? What is that?" He had come in the night before. He posted all the lines in areas that you couldn't see. He had them everywhere, just in case. And so that was it. So we both got embarrassed in this and everything, but it turned out pretty good. So it was a great show.
That is
fantastic. He was unbelievable.
Wow. It has been so fun to have you back
in
the studio and to have you,
Sal with us today. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
And please tell your daughter that I'm a big fan. And
There's not a chance in that she's listening to Dad. But someone will tell her that is listening to her, and I will absolutely tell her. And she's an amazing...
We had hoped that she would be available today, but I knew she was conflicted.
She's
on hold.
She's on hold. And actually, she's there at Warner Bros. Right now. She couldn't.
Well, the name of the film, once again, is A World Away. Mark, where can people find out more about you, follow you, and follow this film?
So, A World Away, thefilm.com. A World Away, you can look on IMDb. You can find me on I'm on Facebook and Instagram under Mark Blanchard. You can find, obviously, if you hit up Rowan Blanchard, you'll find 100 different ways. And Carmen Blanchard has quite a bit of followers.
And
as
Shane
well.
Coming up soon.
Shane,
so look for him.
Shane doesn't seem to be the acting type, although he's very good, he doesn't seem to want it. But he did just win the Burbank District 100, 200, high jump, all and everything.
Wow.
So it was first race, so maybe he's that.
Can people go to YouTube and see a trailer of the film?
Yes, you can go to, I have to pull that back, because Cinema Epoch is the distribution company that's making the deal with Amazon. I don't know if you still can, but I believe you can, because I believe it's still up. And the trailer, the official new trailer, will be out momentarily within
Greg is going to cut a new trailer?
Yeah, Greg's going to cut a new trailer, the owner of Cinema.
And if you Google A World Away, a bunch of stuff will pop up.
Yes, you'll find it. You'll find it at this. And it's coming. And, of course, the East Coast premiere at the Myrtle Beach International Film Festival, which is where we'll be next week.
April 27th.
We want to keep the streak going, so let's do it.
That's
Sal and Caroline Lagerfeld will be on the panel talking along with me.
Very cool.
Now we're heading to my agent's office to go unload an exercise bike for my wife.
Wow. Lots of stuff going on.
I got sucked into that.
That's how glamorous our lives are.
Obviously,
guys, I love the two of you. You guys have great energy. Thank you.
It is always so much fun. You guys are just great. And not only that, but thank you so much for all you guys give to the entertainment industry.
Absolutely.
Not just you, but your families too. That's fantastic. Building sets, acting, all this. It's a wonderful thing. Come back and see us again soon. Is that a promise?
100%.
Good, good.
Promise.
We're going to hold you to that.
When I have the cast 100% locked down for Burned, because there's some very big people.
Yes,
I
know.
I will happily come back and talk
Perfect.
About that.
That's a deal.
Perfect.
That's a deal. And obviously visit theactorsgang.com to find out more about the amazing James Bain and all the wonderful things going on there. And as always, you can follow us on Instagram at LA State of the Arts. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We're so grateful for all of you.
And being that it is Holy Week, we wish all of you a beautiful Easter Sunday.
That's absolutely
Thank you.
Right.
We have an Easter party at our house if you want to come.
Oh, and we know where it is now. We can just follow the trail.
If you can figure out which one of those two.
Party at Mark's
It'll
on
be
the
there,
way.
Easter party, with Easter eggs and all.
Oh, really?
Michael, such a great time with you. Where will I see you next week?
Right here on the radio.
You're You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.